Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, for the longest time, Hollywood movies and Broadway musicals have portrayed biblical themes. You know, back in the days of the ancient world, the Reformation and Renaissance era, traveling actors would go from town to town just performing plays on biblical topics. Then, by the time the movies came along, you know, black and white silent movies gave way to Technicolor. And, yeah, you could see movies such as Samson and Delilah, The Greatest Story Ever Told, King of Kings, The Ten Commandments. Then there have been movies that had themes that were not from the Bible, but you're referred to the Bible. Maybe you've heard of movies like Ben-Hur, Barabbas, The Robe, and Quo Vadis. A few years ago, a group of us from the church went to Barberton Theater to see a movie called The Passion of the Christ. Any of you remember that movie? It was noted for having an extreme level of violence. I think one of the most notorious depictions of Jesus was in 1971, a production called Jesus Christ Superstar. It had an extreme level of falsehood. The star is Judas Iscariot, of all people, and he starts by asking Jesus, "Are you really starting to believe that you're the Savior? You really believe all this talk that you're the Son of God? It can't possibly be true." And, you know, the whole process of that musical gives you the impression that Jesus lost control of his movement, a counter-cultural protest movement, and that he should have listened to Judas. He didn't, so he came to an untimely end. I have long said, please, please, don't let Hollywood teach you the Bible. Even some of the better movies like King of Kings and The Greatest Story Ever Told, they leave out all the good parts. And they treat the resurrection of Jesus as an afterthought. In several of the movies that I've seen, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus is in the last 2 minutes of the film before it says the end. So again, don't let Hollywood teach you the Bible. It's not giving you an accurate picture of who the real Jesus is. Now, today's gospel does show you the real Jesus. Far from letting events spin out of control and resulting in his crucifixion, our Lord always knew what he was doing and why. He did not come to change the social order, even though it needed to be changed. He didn't come to make life a bed of roses, though surely life needed improvement back then. Whenever Jesus gave a miracle, such as healing the sick or cleansing lepers or raising the dead, he always did it for a reason. They weren't tricks designed to amaze. They were signs, divine signs of his power, to authenticate his message and prove his divinity. Miracles were to direct your attention to the divine Son of God, your Savior, who is saving you from all of your sins. Miracles showed that he is the Messiah who would shed his blood for the forgiveness of all your sins. And nothing could prevent Jesus from doing that for you. Absolutely nothing. Not the phony concern of the Pharisees. They just wanted to trick Jesus and get him to leave town. King Herod's threats, Jesus paid no attention to those. He did not pay attention to the plotting and scheming of the religious authorities. And he never even gave in to the misplaced desire of the apostles to protect him. The apostles often cringed when Jesus mentioned the necessity of the cross. You may recall that when Jesus spoke about going to Jerusalem to suffer and die and on the third day be raised, that Peter told him, "No, Lord, this will never happen." And our Lord's response to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Not even Satan himself, with all his temptations and treachery, could get into the Lord's way. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when you use the words lamb and sin together, you're talking about a sacrifice. Lambs could not be sacrificed anywhere. It had to be done only in Jerusalem, only in the temple, only on the one and only altar that was there for that purpose. Only there. That's why Jesus, the Lamb of God, was headed to Jerusalem. He had to go there to be the final sacrifice for our sins. He had to do what the Father sent him to do. Jerusalem was the place of sacrifice and worship. But it was also the city that killed the prophets and stoned those sent to her. Yet Jesus strongly insists that he must go there. Must. "Surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem," our Lord said. Our Lord's crucifixion in Jerusalem was not an unfortunate accident, as the musical superstar would have you believe. His suffering and death and resurrection were planned, predicted, and necessary. There's a little word in verse 33 of today's gospel, must. That's the key to understanding who Jesus is and what he was doing. Must. It tells us of God's grace and his undeserved love towards sinners and the price it cost him to save you. All of your salvation history is bound up in that one tiny, divinely inspired word, must. Jesus must do it. Jesus must do it for you. Only he can, and only he did. You know, sinful flesh, being sinful flesh, has a natural tendency to believe that salvation comes through good works. The thought goes that if you behave yourself, if you perform good deeds, you avoid evil, make a few sacrificial things here and there, well, then you're going to earn enough brownie points to earn a place in God's heaven. Now, that's a very bad belief. It's a wrong belief. It's a belief that makes you into your own savior. If you can earn credit, why do you need Jesus to earn it for you? You don't need faith in Jesus if you can be saved by your own efforts, and you can't, because the scripture declares, "By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Not a single soul has ever been saved through obeying the Ten Commandments. If that were true, if you could save yourself by the Ten Commandments, we'd have six windows with the Ten Commandments on them, not just one. So why bother with the Ten Commandments? Well, it's because God's law prepares you to hear the gospel. Without knowing God's law, you're not going to realize that you're a sinner. Without knowing God's law, you're not going to know how hard it is, how impossible it is to keep God's law. Actually, God's law teaches us that we are utterly incapable of saving ourselves. It's because of our fallen human nature. None of us can take the path of obeying our way into heaven. Christ must obey our way into heaven for us, and he did. Christ must keep God's Ten Commandments, God's law, for us, and he did. That's what the gospel is. It's Christ doing everything for poor sinners like us. So Jesus said to all the phony, concern that was being shown for him by his enemies. He said, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. Jesus went to Jerusalem because you need him to go there. I needed him there. So in today's gospel, Jesus is really undergoing yet another temptation for your sake. He's being urged to abandon his trip to Jerusalem. All these urgings by the Pharisees, they sure sounded like friendly concerns for his safety, but they were not. They were temptations from the devil himself, because the devil used their misdirected concern for Jesus' welfare to get him to abandon the path to the cross and to the resurrection. But Jesus never gave in. He remained faithful and continued on toward his goal. He was not afraid to be sacrificed for your sins. He would not let the devil's temptation in the wilderness, nor the devil's temptation in today's gospel through the phony concern of the Pharisees, stop him from the joy he has in being your Savior. And yeah, that's joy. His death was not a miscalculation or an accident. Hebrews chapter 12 says Jesus found great joy even in going to the cross. You know why that is? It's because that's where he saved you. No one else in heaven on earth could have done that for you except Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He must go to Jerusalem, and he did. Only he could be the sacrificial lamb whose blood cleanses and washes you from sin's guilt. That's why you need Jesus to accomplish what the Father sent him to do. His opponents wanted to convince him otherwise, and I might add that many of these movies that talk about Jesus would have us think that Jesus was just a nice guy who met a very unfortunate end, and then in the last few seconds, oh yeah, and by the way, some people think he was raised from the dead. No, I must keep going, Jesus said, and that's exactly what he did. That's the real Jesus. Not the one you see in films, but the one you find in the scriptures. The real Jesus knew who he is and what he had to do for you, and he did it. He reached his goal. He paid the price of your sins. He paid for the wrath of God, and he gave you what you need most. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation. Thanks be to our crucified and risen Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the offertory.